This is Baseball Today.
Baseball's a funny game. There's a round ball that comes in a square box.
Yeah, but it takes him 4 months to blow his nose, so
wow.
I don't know what's going to happen. That made me sick to my stomach, too, being that positive. Ugh.
Yes, the point here is when Peter speaks, everybody should listen.
That's right.
Play ball!
Baseball Today.
Hi there and welcome to the Baseball Today. It's Thursday, October 22nd, a glorious day in the city of brotherly love. I'm Eric Carabel here with Peter Pascarelli. Peter, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Making history in Philly. They're a history-making team for that city, so enjoy them while you can.
What does that mean, while you can?
There's another team coming up that's going to play them in a little bit.
So, nothing is guaranteed, but, you know, to me it's about the ride. Lots to get to on today's show. We're going to talk about the Phillies winning the National League over the Dodgers. We're going to preview Game 5 of the Angels-Yankees, which, by the way, is on ESPN Radio. Let's go through it all right now. We're going to start off with Phillies-Dodgers.
The Philadelphia Phillies.
The Phillies.
The Los Angeles Dodgers.
The Dodgers.
All right, Phillies win the National League Championship Series in 5 games. Second straight year they beat the Dodgers. Ryan Howard named MVP. Let's listen to the ESPN Radio recap now with Dan Shulman and Dave Campbell.
Well, an interesting series that just about everybody coming in with thought would it be a long series, but with each passing game it became clear that the Philadelphia Phillies were the superior team.
Well, the guy that said it was going to be an epic series was Jimmy Rollins, but he's also the guy that stopped it from being an epic series. With that clutch hit in Game 4 in the bottom of the ninth inning, as the Phillies turned defeat into victory, instead of the series being tied at 2, it put them up 3-1. And you just kind of felt coming into this one it was going to take a superior effort by the Dodgers to even make it a game.
And the length and the depth of their lineup, Jason Worth hitting 3 home runs, Ryan Howard, the NLCS MVP, Carlos Ruiz, big hits, Rollins, the single biggest hit of the series. This is an American League lineup playing in the National League.
Yeah, there wasn't a guy in the lineup top to bottom. In fact, if one guy was quiet in the series, it might have been Chase Utley, and you know he's not going to stay quiet forever. I mean, he got his walks and he got a few hits along the way, but you know, Jimmy Rollins had the big hit in Game 4. Ryan Howard was strong all the way through. You know, Worth, Ibanez, Feliz in this game, Carlos Ruiz before. I mean, top to bottom, they were an offensive force. They hit .380 with men in scoring position so far in postseason.
Cole Hamels wasn't great, but Pedro Martinez was, Cliff Lee was, and Brad Leach and the rest of the pen really delivered the goods.
It's going to be very interesting to see where Charlie slots Cole Hamels in the World Series. I mean, my gut feeling is it may be 4, but, you know, then again, Charlie hadn't made too many bad decisions, so maybe he'll slot him in number 2 and get away with it.
The Phillies beat the Dodgers in 5 again. They're the champions of the National League.
Okay, so obviously the Phillies had guys who made big hits. They didn't really get, I mean, the bullpen was good. Cole Hamels was not. But, you know, it's interesting about the Phillies. I mean, this lineup, they were talking about it on Mike and Mike today in SportsCenter. What a deep lineup. I mean, Pedro Feliz hits a home run. Jason Worth hits a pair. Top of the order, bottom of the order. Carlos Ruiz has been Mr. October. This is an American League lineup.
Well, it's a great lineup, and it's the reason why they're there. And, you know, they're never behind in a game that they can't overcome a lead. They, you know, it just grinds down opponents. And it's similar to that lineup in New York if the Yankees can finish their business. You know, where do you start in that Phillies lineup? I mean, you know, there's no one to pitch around in the sense that, you know, you can't pitch around Ryan Howard with the way Worth's been hitting, and then you have Ibanez sitting there. I mean, it's just everything about it makes it a tough lineup, especially in these kind of games. They grind up pitchers. They mount high pitch counts. The bottom of the lineup you can't dismiss, and the bottom of the lineup often starts rallies that the top of the lineup finishes. It's just it's just the kind of club it is an American League style lineup, but it's also a great lineup in terms of defense. I mean, it's going to go down as one of the best lineups probably in the last decade, you know, for a while. I mean, really, when you look at it, offensively, defensively, this is as good as it gets.
All right, so the Phillies win, and we're going to have, I would think, plenty of time to discuss the Phillies before the World Series starts in about 7 weeks. So I don't want to go too much into them, but we do have an interview here with Cole Hamels, and we're going to get into this in the coming days, on the coming shows. Cole Hamels didn't pitch well. Three home runs allowed, and good for Charlie Manuel. I was with a bunch of people watching this game at a bar, and they were like, why you pull Hamels now? He's two outs away from a win. You don't care about who gets the win. You care about winning the game. Phillies have a deep bullpen with a couple guys who can go long. Chandler Parker could pitch multiple innings. Jay Happ certainly could. They could have used Bland. I mean, there's a lot of different guys.
Durbin came in with a big out, and he can pitch multiple innings as well. So, I mean, there's no sentiment involved here, and particularly with Hamels, who's really been the biggest disappointment on the club this year.
You know what? He's a bigger concern now than Brad Lidge is. Let's listen to the Hamels interview and then discuss. Here is the post-game interview with Cole Hamels.
All right, Cole Hamels, I'm sure you would have liked to have gone deeper into this game, but come on.
Yeah.
What's going through your mind right now?
You know, our bullpen did a phenomenal job. You know, I wasn't able to do what I intended, but you know what? The team stepped up. You know, we scored runs, and the bullpen came in and really shut it down, and that's what we really needed because, you know, everybody counted the bullpen out, and they really showed what we're all about.
It seems like the celebration is a little more tempered this year. You guys are, I'm sure you're ready to go nuts in the clubhouse, but it seems like you're dialing it back a notch. Is it a sense of been there, done that?
No, you know what? Anytime you go to the World Series, you cannot complain. I think we know that we still have games to play. You know, we're going to celebrate. We're very happy, but we really do want to go out there and, you know, win the World Series. That's our ultimate goal.
10-4 game tonight. You know, I know the bullpen did a great job, but my goodness, you had so many contributors up and down that lineup. What do you say about this lineup from 1 through 8?
You know, this is the year of the offense. You know, this is something our offense has definitely stepped up all through the season, and especially during the postseason. So, you know, that's what it's all about. They've definitely come to the field, worked really hard, and it shows.
All right, so there's Cole Hamels and with John Barr, I believe, ESPN Radio, and he's talking. Says he's saying all the right things. I wonder what's not being said, Peter, in the Philadelphia clubhouse there about Hamels' performance. They gave him a big lead in the first inning. They gave him even a bigger lead later on. It was 6-2 in the fifth, and he couldn't get through the fifth inning. Orlando Hudson hit a bomb. Cole Hamels is a big problem for this team right now.
He's a big issue, and, you know, you look at how they'll set up. Obviously, Cliff Lee will pitch the opener, I would think. And
Pedro Martinez, yeah.
Maybe Pedro Martinez in game two in New York. I don't know about that.
That's unbelievable.
That would be a little bit interesting. Maybe Blanton in game two. I don't know where they go with Cole Hamels. I mean, they're all going to say the right things if they have confidence in him. You know, Charlie will always say that, but he's useless to go to the bullpen, so he's got to start. And it's going to be interesting. Maybe Jay Happ gets a start in this round. They have some issues there other than Cliff Lee. It's going to be very fascinating to see how the Phillies structure their rotation, and maybe they'll go with the what they've done so far is that keep every day secret until you have to reveal it. I mean, because Cole Hamels has become an issue here, and we will talk a lot about the World Series, but against that Yankee lineup, I mean, you can get blown out of a game very early if you don't have a good starting pitcher out there. So it's going to be very interesting how the Phillies line up their rotation.
All right, well, we got plenty of time to talk about the Phillies. I want to focus a little bit on the Dodgers. We got an email here. This is from Kevin in Los Angeles, and I'm imagining he's not very happy today. He writes, Dear Inspector Irritated and Mr. Happy, so the Dodgers are just what everybody thought they were, a good but not great team with an excellent bullpen, which wasn't really this series, and a bunch of number three starters and no clear number one. What moves does Ned Coletti need to make to take this team to the next level? An ace pitcher, maybe a different second baseman like Dan Uglow, because their inability to score runners in scoring position was maddening. Also, do you see the impending divorce of the McCourts being a major hindrance in Coletti trying to make these moves? P.S. I need Peter's advice because he hates everybody. I hate the Phillies, but I hate the Yankees even more. Who the heck do I root for in the World Series, which starts sometime next year? That's pretty funny, Kevin. Yeah, the World Series. I hate that there's so much time off. The Yankees win tonight. Why do we need to wait 6 days? All right, different argument. But the Dodgers, they're obviously, Manny Ramirez is going to take his $20 million to come back as a player option there. They're not really losing any other real key players. I mean, they can do without Vicente Padilla. Their lineup, lineup's fine. Oh, I mean, they're a good
Hudson's
team.
A free agent. Orlando Hudson's a free agent. You'd think
they weren't even playing him.
No, and I think Belliard won't be back either.
Maybe they get it, Dan Uglow. But this is a good team.
Second base is an issue. I still think they need a number one starting pitcher, a clear number one. I don't know where you go and get that number one. They also have to think about that bullpen in terms of Broxton melting down in these little situations, you know, that performance the other night was really unsettling, I think, up here at the Dodgers. You know, you look at that's the biggest game of the year, and he's afraid of Matt Stairs. I just think it's something that could linger with the ball club. But they, you know, it's a good ball club. It has a good core of people, but it needs a number one starter, and it certainly needs, I think, more juice in the lineup. Now, Manny's an interesting situation. There's been, I've heard from some other baseball people that the Dodger people are really upset with him, that they think he's a shell of what he used to be. That if he takes the option, they could still release him. Now, I'm not saying they're going to do that, but there's a lot of unhappiness with Manny Ramirez within the organization. I don't know how it manifests itself in the off season, but that's something to watch for. And as for the divorce stuff, I have no idea how it's going to impact the club.
I don't think it does. And, you know, you say this about the Dodgers. 6-3 game, and they bring in Chad Durbin to pitch to Ramirez, two men on base, and he hits like a check swing grounder 8 feet. I mean, that's in a bat that he has to get the ball in the air, has to have a good at-bat there, and he didn't do it.
He's not the same player.
Since he came back, I mean, I'm not going to imply anything. You can do that. But since he came back from the suspension, he has not been the same player. It's almost like watching Magly Ordóñez take a swift fall quickly and not have the power or anything.
He's just not a feared hitter anymore, and they went right after him without any fear. And that's why I think they need that kind of hitter in the lineup. I mean, you know, Ether's a good hitter. Kemp's a good hitter. They're not feared hitters yet. It's going to be interesting to see how the Dodgers unfold here and then over the course of the winter. There's also, I've been hearing talk too that they might shop Russell Martin, who they're really down on a little bit too because of his lack of offense. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Dodgers, you know, Ned Colletti's never been afraid to make moves. So, you know, there's going to be some stuff down there, and it's going to be interesting to see how they proceed here in the next few weeks.
All right. I think it's going to be an interesting offseason for that team. So the Dodgers are done, and we wrap them up, and the Phillies.
That's the question of who to root against. Now, that's when I'm sort of an expert in rooting against teams, and quite briefly, I think if he's a Dodger fan, then he should probably root for the Phillies because at least it's a National League winner. Even though he hates the Phillies and hates the Yankees, I would think as a Dodger fan, you'd root for the National League team.
I'll stay out of this one, but I'll tell you this. Dodgers make it to back-to-back National League Championship Series. Yes, they didn't make it to a World Series, but still very impressive. I mean, a good team.
Sure.
I mean, these are not bad seasons by any means. And just because they were number one seed, don't even look at that. I mean, everybody thought they were going to lose to the Cardinals, and they swept them. So I'd say it's a good season. They ran into a better team. I don't think there's any other way to say it.
Two years in a row.
Oh,
they've run into a better team. And in a way, I think the distance between the Phillies and the Dodgers now is greater than it was a year ago. And a lot of that has to do with Manny Ramirez, but it also has to do with the pitching, et cetera. To me, this series was much more lopsided than last year's five-game series because, you know, the Dodgers very well could have been swept in this series. If Chase Utley completes a double play, this series is a sweep.
Well, if Broxton completes his game, it's, you know.
Well, that's true, too. But
they're about even. I mean, you know, Matt Stairs hitting that home run, I mean, nobody expected that last year.
Right, and then the Rollins' comeback was the same kind of thing, but I don't know. I just think that the distance between these two teams has maybe grown because this Phillies lineup just keeps getting better, even without some people having good years. I mean, that's the other thing.
Yeah, Jimmy Rollins did not have a good year. Chase Utley has not looked good since August. Anyway, we'll talk about the Phillies in the next 15 days because the World Series actually starts next Wednesday in the American League ballpark. Let's move on now and talk about the Angels and the Yankees.
The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
The Angels.
The New York Yankees.
The Yankees.
Yankees can clinch in Game 5 tonight, Thursday, at 7:10 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio. And, you know, this is a little bit different than what the Phillies were going through on Wednesday, because if the Phillies had not beaten the Dodgers last night, they had to go back to Los Angeles cross-country. You know, Yankees are coming home either way after this game.
Right.
You know, Game 6 and 7 would be at Yankee Stadium. So I don't think there's all that much pressure on the Yankees to win this game. I think there is a lot of pressure on John Lackey. He's the ace. It's his last start for the team if they don't win. You know, he might make tons of money as a Dodger next year or a Yankee or who knows, but it's a big game for John Lackey.
Big game for John Lackey. Could be his last game as an Angel, like you said, and you know, you think he's going to go out with a good one. You'd like to think that if you're the Angels, and, you know, he's got to be better than Scott Kazmir was, so, you know, he's got that going for him. It'll be interesting. You know, I don't expect the Angels to die easy here. I expect them to go after A.J. Burnett. He's the guy they know they can run on. They know they can get on base and do some things with A.J. Burnett if they can get some base runners early. I mean, the whole key with the Angels, as it's been with this whole season, is they've been let down by their three, you know, their three best offensive players, really, Figgins, Abreu, and Torii Hunter. And, you know, if they can get them going tonight, make everybody cross country and play some more games, I think that would be a moral victory for them. And then they go from there. You know, they'll have Joe Saunders going in game six, and he pitched awfully well the other night. So, you know, it would make things very fascinating if they win tonight, because then you could see them saying, oh my God, if they can win one more, it's a seventh game and anything can happen. But, it has to start tonight with John Lackey, who, probably is pitching his last game in Anaheim. I mean, I don't know if they'll pay what it takes. They have a lot of issues too in the off season, which we can talk about whenever this series is over. But the Angels have huge amount of free agent issues they have to address. John Lackey's at the top of the list.
Over in his 41 home starts over the past 3 years, Lackey is 19-12 with a 3.77 ERA, which isn't actually all that great. I mean, he wins more than he loses, but he's their ace, and you know, maybe he's not Cliff Lee type ace, but he's been there. He's been in a game seven before. It's a really important start. You know, other things here to note about the Angels. I mean, maybe they're not panicking. The last game wasn't all that close. You know, I saw Torii Hunter talking, you know, there's no pressure on us. It's all on them. They don't want to have to play any more games. I don't know about pressure. I mean, the bottom line is the Yankees want to put them away so they don't keep the Angels in the series. But these look like two even teams. They just haven't looked that way this series.
Yeah, they look like even teams, but boy, when you watch them play, I mean, there's just a sense of you know, the more damage that each player can do on the Yankee team compared to the comparable player on the Angels team. I mean, numbers wise, the Angels second baseman have had good years, but Robinson Cano, you know, you have to think he's going to do more damage. You know what I mean? It's Ibar's a heck of a shortstop for the Angels. But Derek Jeter, you know, is an immortal, you know, and you go right down the line. I mean, Figgins had a great year, but Alex Rodriguez is his counterpart at third base. And it's just, the Yankee lineup has just been so imposing. And I mean, again, they've had guys not do anything in these series either, but it's just overshadowed by the fact that whenever they need to do something, they hit a home run. And, you know, Swisher's done nothing in this series. Cano's done very little in this series. Cabrera didn't do anything until the other day when he had three big hits. But, you know, Damon didn't do anything in the first two games. Now he starts hitting home runs. I mean, but the like the Phillies, the Yankees have a lineup in which there's an answer coming every day. There's an answer always in the on-deck circle. And the Angels just don't, I don't think, have that kind of presence to their lineup, as good as it might be. And you know, that, a lot of that comes from the fact that the big guys haven't done anything in this series. And it comes back to them. I mean, it's very disappointing. And so hasn't Figgins, and so hasn't Torii Hunter.
Now, we should note, I mean, the teams can come back from 3-1 deficits. I mean, obviously, the Red Sox did it to the Indians a couple of years ago against CC Sabathia. Yankees were up 3-0 in a series. So they should know better than anybody that you want to put a team away. It says here, 6 of 28 teams in the Angels' position have rallied from a 3-1 deficit in a league championship series. So, I mean, it has happened, and the Angels are at home. And, you know, Lackey's pitching against A.J. Burnett, who I know you're not a fan of. You've kind of waffled on him this season. I mean, whether you like him, whether you don't, big games. I mean, he pitched well against the Angels earlier in this series. Got no decision, but he pitched well.
Yeah, he pitched well. That second game was such a miserable night that you know, you almost forget, you know, how cold it was. It was so cold and miserable that evening. But he did pitch okay. He kept him in the game. And the thing about that game that was so weird was that Molina caught him. That's his desired catcher. And they must have had about 30 meetings at the mound during that game in the 5 or 6 innings that he pitched. So it was a really disjointed effort by Burnett. But we'll see how he does this tonight. It'll be interesting to see if Posada catches him or Molina, although I suspect it's going to be Molina, and go from there. But, you know, it's all in Lackey. If they can bring it back to New York, you know, then at least the Angels can say, hey, you know, we brought them to the limit, and we'll see what happens. But that's a big 9 innings ahead of them. And the way that people like Alex Rodriguez have been playing in this series, you know, you're surprised if the Yankees don't win a game right now the way they've been playing.
Well, I know what you're rooting for. You're rooting for more work. You want to be at Yankee Stadium on Saturday.
I want to be there on Sunday seeing Sabathia. That would be a great thing for the Phillies if Sabathia has to pitch a seventh game.
Yes. You don't think he'd come back on 2 days rest?
No, he'd come back on three, though.
Man, that would be the best possible news for the Phillies. I mean, if they play on Saturday, say the Angels win tonight, and I guess we can talk about this tomorrow, but, I mean, Sabathia would still go in game one. I mean, because he has to pitch Sunday. That would really affect the World Series. But then again, if they go to Game 7, there's no guarantee the Yankees would even win.
Right, exactly. That's why you want to avoid a Game 7, obviously.
Well, I want a Game 7.
Well, the Angels want two in a row. Then they get to a Game 7, anything can happen. I mean, you almost have won the series if you get to Game 7 in the sense that that's the toss-up game. It doesn't matter where it's played. You know, a seventh game is a seventh game, but a long way to go before you can obviously get there, but it would be a fascinating scenario that to take Sabathia out of that first game start, because I know from talking to a couple of Yankee executives, it's a mortal lock that they're going to go with three starters again in the World Series. So.
They should. It's worked now. All right, I'm picking Lackey tonight. I think he's going to come up big. I think the Angels are going to win this game. And I think it's good for baseball if they do, too. I mean, it's such a long time without baseball. That's what saddens me the most. It's, you know, of course I'm happy the Phillies won. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. But it's a shame that there's not going to be any games this weekend unless the Angels win tonight.
Well, I mean, there's been no series. The division series had three sweeps and one four-game series, right? Is that right?
Yeah, Phillies won in four, yes.
Yeah. And then in this series, you're going to have two five-game series. I mean, that's just...
It doesn't mean the games aren't competitive. It just means one team is winning all the games.
They've been good games, but it's just that you need more of them. And, you know, you build up the drama, you build up storylines and all the rest, you build up excitement, and all of a sudden, if the Yankees win tonight, we're going to be sitting there waiting for a game for 6 days, and that's just...
Not good.
It really takes away from the enjoyment of the World Series, and plus the weather's just getting colder and colder in the Northeast.
You know, it's a shame. It's supposed to be a nice weekend here in the Northeast.
Yeah.
All right, we have a couple minutes left briefly for a brief call to the pen.
Call to the pen. You've got email.
Yes, we do, and we need your emails. Keep sending them to baseballtoday@espnradio.com. Friday show, obviously, we'll be talking about Yankees and Angels. I don't see any National League discussion there, so we're going to need some of your emails, so get them in. Interesting question here from Dave in Canonsburg, Pennsylvania. He says, in looking at starting rosters for the four remaining teams in the playoffs, or three now, it seems that none of them have starting rosters dominated by homegrown talent, which I'm going to disagree with. Phillies and Angels seem to have a hybrid mix of homegrown versus acquired, but the Dodgers and especially the Yankees have roughly two-thirds of their starting rosters filled with acquired players. This isn't really indicative of the theory that money buys championships, is it? I know everyone is claiming this year to be an anomaly, but recent World Series winner trends suggest otherwise. Peter, I ask you this. Phillies and Angels, to me, seem like they're very homegrown, and Dodgers and Yankees are clearly not, but do you think there's a theme?
But you know, you look at, you say they're not, but the Yankees...
Yankees have quite a few players. I mean, Jeter, Rivera, Posada.
They have Cano, they have Jeter.
Melky Cabrera.
Mariano Rivera, Melky Cabrera, they have Phil Hughes, they have Jabba Chamberlain. I mean, that's a lot of pretty significant people. Andy Pettit's a homegrown player. That's a lot of players. I mean, so, you know, you sort of say, oh, the Yankees go out and buy a pennant, but they don't win the pennant this year without Phil Hughes and Jabba Chamberlain and David Robertson coming out of the bullpen, Phil Koch, because all those players are homegrown people in the bullpen. And so I think that... you can't win with all one or all the other. You have to have a mix to be a good franchise, and that's what's made the Phillies very good. You know, they had the great draft choices with the Utleys and the Ryan Howard and Jimmy Rollins, and you know, and then they've supplemented it with the people that they've acquired along the way, and that's the way you build a franchise. You don't do it all one or all the other. So,
but let's say this. Spending money does not buy a championship. It just doesn't. We know this.
It just doesn't. I mean, what money does is it
makes it easier to make mistakes.
Exactly. It gives you a bigger margin for error.
You can afford Jason Giambi and just go get somebody else. I mean, but these teams haven't had to do that. It's not like the Phillies and Yankees made any obvious mistakes that they had to buy their way out of. There were no Adam Eatons this year on Philadelphia. Yankees didn't have anybody like that they had to drop. I mean, the Red Sox kind of did, you know, with a couple of their starting pitchers, but...
I just think the money thing, people zero in on the fact that a payroll is so much more than another payroll. Well, that's because they can afford to pay it. But the fact remains is that the Tampa Bay went to the World Series last year and
they had no money.
And other relatively small revenue teams can do the same with good management. They obviously have to make fewer mistakes than the bigger clubs, but So you make fewer mistakes. I mean, you do a better job. You have to be resourceful. I mean, the Twins show that every year. So,
and we should note, the last time the Yankees made a World Series, who'd they play?
They played the Florida Marlins.
What was their payroll? $20 million, maybe?
Yeah. And they beat
half
them.
Of A-Rod? I mean, come on.
Yep.
It's not about, I mean, look, money helps. Look, Mark Teixeira is a Yankee because of money. Let's not lie. But, you know, money is not the reason that the Phillies and the Yankees / Angels are going to be in this series. So, congrats to the Dodgers for a great season. Philadelphia keeps going. Yankees and Angels, Game 5 is Thursday night at 7:10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN Radio. Pasquarelli is out there with the crew. Thank you for waking up so early. Peter, any final thoughts?
No, except that if there's a win tonight, I'm in the clubhouse with all my guys from the Yankees getting faced again by some moron with a champagne bottle.
You love getting champagne poured on you. Come on.
It's tough, I'll tell you, boy. It gets in your, it really does hurt your eyes. No wonder these guys wear these goggles. It does really hurt.
Please don't whine. Don't tell me you're whining about getting champagne on you.
Well, I hope it's better than the crap they had the last time. It was a cheap and American champagne. Go for the gold here. Come on, you're the Yankees. Let's go.
All right. I think we've heard enough out of you today. But thank you. Thank you for complaining about the best job in the world. Okay, that's it. Baseball Today is a wrap for Thursday. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening. Thanks to Peter Pasquarelli. Thanks to Frank Dale, filling in for Pod Vader, who always seems to be off. I'm Eric Carabel. We'll be back on Friday to discuss Yankees, Angels, and maybe previewing the World Series. Please send your emails and tune in then.
Thanks for listening to Baseball Today. For more baseball talk, be sure to tune in Monday through Friday for Baseball Tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern. Only on ESPN Radio and online at ESPNRadio.com.
Tomorrow morning we can either rip it or praise it.
Well, that's pretty much what we do here, isn't it?